This is Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm David First. New Yorkers lined up at the polls for the first weekend of early voting. Some reported waiting in lines of up to 5 hours, while others walked into their poll site without a problem. There were also some incidents that raised questions about what role the NYPD will play in the election and what happens when officers in uniform openly talk about politics. Joining us now to recap the first weekend is WNYC's Bridget Bergen. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Bridget, we reported that nearly 194,000 voters turned out this weekend. What was it like out there?
David, we had a team of reporters out talking to voters all weekend and documenting this first presidential election with early voting. We haven't had that before in a presidential election. Now, keep in mind, this is still a relatively new concept for New Yorkers. It's only been in place for about a year. There was actually only one other general election for us to even compare it to, and that was last year when the big ballot items were changing the city charter and the public advocates race, which was not exactly a race. So,
right.
The turnout in these first 2 days of early voting is about three times the total of all 9 days last year, right? Now, in the context of overall turnout for a presidential contest, if you compare that to how many people voted in 2016, this is only about 7% of that total turnout. But if you think in terms of all eligible voters, it's even smaller. It's just under 4%. But that being said, there was a lot of enthusiasm outside the poll sites this weekend. This is Tamika Hayes, who showed up at Lincoln Center, a brand new poll site, 3 hours before it opened at 10 a.m. on Saturday.
I've had a couple conversations with different people. Everybody's really excited. It's an energy you're not going to get by putting in an absentee ballot. You know, coming here is what really matters.
Now, we also saw marching bands and people were sending me messages on Twitter saying they were tailgating outside their local bagel joint. A lot of these people wanted to be there to cast their ballot on this first weekend.
Yeah, and you can hear that energy in her voice and marching bands, too. But, you know, lines are not necessarily a good thing. They can also be a form of voter suppression. Was anybody raising concerns about those waits?
Absolutely. Like you said, there were some people who just wanted to be out there on the first day, but there were others who expressed a lot of frustration about the wait. The Board of Elections designated 88 early voting sites. Now, that's up from the 61 they had in 2019, but the board has struggled to get other sites to open their doors. We reported earlier this year about dozens of cultural institutions that collectively receive $500 million in tax benefits that flat out refuse the board's request to use their space for voting. There's also an issue with schools. Parents complained about losing their gyms and cafeterias last year before there was a pandemic. Now, this year, schools chancellor Richard Carranza urged the board to limit, if not eliminate, using schools for early voting. So finding space is a persistent issue. But there's also the question of how the board prepared these early voting sites. How evenly were voters divided among them? How much equipment and staff was there? These are issues we're going to continue to watch this week.
Okay, there were two instances where the NYPD's role with the election came under scrutiny this weekend, starting with an incident in Red Hook, Brooklyn. Can you explain what happened there?
So city council member and now mayoral candidate Carlos Menchaca and some other local volunteers set up a table with flyers about early voting hours, COVID prevention, and they were distributing free masks outside a poll site. There were allegations by some people at the poll site of electioneering. Video shows an NYPD officer confiscating the materials. The NYPD says they were just responding to those complaints from election officials. You can't electioneer within 100 feet of a poll site. Witnesses say there was no electioneering. The items were ultimately returned. And while it never prevented a voter from accessing a poll site, this more heavy-handed approach is concerning, especially given some of the issues raised by the mayor himself just last week about voter intimidation. In a separate, far more overtly political incident, there was another viral video, this time of an NYPD officer saying Trump 2020 over his patrol car's loudspeaker in Flatbush, Brooklyn. That's a clear violation of department policy. Officers in uniform cannot engage in politics, and that officer has already been suspended pending an ongoing investigation.
Okay. Well, Mayor de Blasio was on Morning Joe on MSNBC on Friday talking about how important this election is for New York City. He's even rolling out a poll watcher program on Election Day. What was he up to this weekend?
That's a great question, David. He had no public schedule. While lots of other public officials made a point of voting early this weekend, being out there, talking to voters, the mayor's expected to vote this week. His staff says he was monitoring issues with early voting closely, but he was not out or a presence as part of this weekend.
Okay, interesting. Well, Bridget, the New York Times is reporting this morning about the nepotism and management problems that have plagued the Board of Elections. Is this what makes the agency so problem-prone?
David, as you have probably heard me say on air, 4 years, the Board of Elections is one of the last bastions of pure patronage in city government. The county party bosses have more control over the agency than the mayor or the governor. And the board's overall decision-making is driven by the 10 commissioners who are hand-picked by those party bosses. And the patronage goes much deeper, as the Times story really lays out for you. It stretches down into the management of the county borough offices, the composition of poll workers. Lots of lawmakers like to complain about its dysfunction, but ultimately, it would require change made by state lawmakers to overhaul and professionalize the agency, something good government groups have been calling for years, but has never happened.
Okay, WNYC's Bridget Bergen, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, David.
And we also want to know if voters have any remaining questions about the election or the voting process. So if you have one, tweet us at WNYC or at Gothamist with the hashtag #AskAReporter, and we will try to get you the answers.